They had way too much fun with that one.
I was gone that week, so it looked like one.
Are you on the level?
Well, I have a couple levels here. These are my levels. I got them at garage sales. So they were for sale. They're for sale again, and I'll tell you why. I was billing some stuff while I was on vacation and time off. And I'm not handy, but there was a guy who was there helping me who was handy. And I leveled something, and he said, "That's not level." I said, "No, my level says it's level." And then he put his level, and then his level said something different level. And then he did a terrible thing. He took his level, and he put it up against my level. And when his level was level, my level wasn't level. In fact, with these two levels, all right, now that one's level, but the other one's not level. And this one, and so the way you test a level is put it up against another level. But how do you know that the level you're testing the level against is level? I mean, so these two levels are saying different things, right? And it may not seem like a big deal, but if you're a little off here on level, then way down there, it matters. Anyway, the point is there's a couple options, right? Either these are both right, which isn't possible because they say different things, or one of them is right and the other one isn't, or what's the third option? They're both wrong. Again, available for purchase, these levels, if anybody who would like to buy them because they're untrustworthy. I bring that up because it kind of is a way of me talking about the next season of our life here at Jacob's Well. We're going to talk about balance. We're going to talk about rhythm. We're going to talk about being on the level, being even keeled. We are going to enter into a season where I really believe we are going to see some of the deepest spiritual growth, emotional maturity. I think we're going to see a season of miracles. I think we're going to see a season where people who have struggled, particularly with issues in their minds and their hearts, their mental health, maybe they've struggled for years, we're going to start actually experiencing some real deliverance from things like fears and anxieties and being overcome. We're getting ready to launch several things, but the cornerstone of what we're doing this fall is something called emotionally healthy discipleship. And this is all about what it means to be in Christ. We're going to be studying in the fall. We're going to study a lot of things this year. We're going to be studying the book of Colossians, which is all about what it means to be in Christ and live in Christ as a present tense reality. And a huge part of it is about getting on the level. We're going to be doing some hard work. We're going to look at things like pain and our families, and we're going to be looking at, you know, how we make sense of suffering. We're going to be making sense of our childhoods and all kinds of things like that. So God's going to be doing some deep, deep work. Now, what we're doing today is actually preparing ourselves to do the work. And we're doing it by teaching on a topic that a lot of you, when you hear the topic, you'll think maybe real churchy, or maybe you had some bad experiences with growing up. But it actually is one of the central topics that we must actually understand and implement our life if we're going to be whole and healthy and mature people. And it has to do with this thing of Sabbath. And specifically, being a Sabbath rebel. I am calling you to a rebellion. And just, I'll explain this in a minute, but just so you know, you are going to be a rebel one way or the other. One way of being a rebel is going to lead to life and more peace and more wholeness. The other is going to lead to things like anxiety, broken relationships, frustrations. When we understand what it means to live a life of Sabbath, it absolutely changes everything. So I want to begin by talking a little bit about what Jesus said about Sabbath. So if you have done a study of Jesus and his life in the Gospels, you will know that Sabbath was a big concept. Now, the idea of Sabbath is a very simple thing. It means to rest, and specifically to rest in God. And so Jesus had a ton of conversations about Sabbath, what it looked like, and he had a huge amount of conflict with religious leaders. And it's interesting how many times the source of the conflict is actually this thing of Sabbath, what it means to honor God and rest in God. The other thing that we're going to learn about Jesus is that Jesus lived a life of Sabbath. You know, one of the most amazing things about Jesus is he had the ability to fall asleep in the middle of a storm. Think about that. I mean, everything's blowing, everything's crazy, and they're all worried, which boat's going to sink? You maybe know the story. And they said, where's Jesus? Well, he's sleeping in the boat. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've been through a lot of storms lately. Maybe you're going through a storm lately, and maybe you're experiencing right now. What would it look like to have the kind of spiritual inner life that in the midst of that, even though the whole world's going crazy, you're experiencing this thing of life and health and peace and well-being? That's what Sabbath creates. So this is what Jesus said about Sabbath. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for humanity. This is God's gift to us, that we are supposed to live and be and have Sabbath. We are supposed to learn to rest in God. Sabbath is an issue of learning to trust God and worship God and trust not in what we do, but what God has done. It is putting greater value on God's work around us, for us, and in us than the work we do. It's honoring the fact that, listen now, God does not have limitations, but we do. Now, that'll be a surprise to some of you that you have limitations, but you do. And if you do not honor those limitations, not only will you reach a point where you will break, you will hurt yourself and others, but you also dishonor God. And so Sabbath is an acknowledgement that God is God and we are not. And so he says, Sabbath was made for humanity. It is a gift. It actually fills life with meaning and hope and significance. It is the ability to rest in the most profound way. He goes on to say, man is not made for the Sabbath. And that was for the people who have made Sabbath just a collection of rules. Some of you maybe grew up in a church, maybe real conservative, and Sabbath was just about all the things you couldn't do. You couldn't go to the store. You couldn't have fun. You just sat around being religious all day, and it was miserable. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about implementing rest into every day, into every week, and into every season of your life. So Jesus said, the Son of Man, that's one of Jesus' names for himself, is Lord of the Sabbath. And I really want to suggest to you, you will not even begin to fully experience God, and you will not experience spiritual well-being and emotional healing until you learn the ability to experience some sort of Sabbath, to rest. So what is Sabbath? Sabbath is the practice, the perspective, and the pattern of resting in God that teaches us to live in through freedom. And so what is it? It's practices that we do that slows down our heart, our mind, and it's different for different people. There's not a list of 10 that all of us are supposed to do. There's actually a list of like hundreds that when you understand how to implement Sabbath in your life, this is the thing that slows me down. It reminds me of God. It centers me in God. It puts me on level, because ultimately the true level is the person of Christ. His life, his teaching, his example, this recenters on him, and it's embracing those practices that does it. It also, that centers us on God. It also is a perspective. Again, it's a focus that my work is not what matters as much as God's works. So why can I slow down and rest? Well, because what that means is that I'm trusting that God is not resting. He is working all the time. And his work is what's important. It also says that he's in charge. He has control. You know, the truth is, many of us don't like rest, because rest makes us feel like we're out of control. It makes us feel like we're weak. It makes us feel like we're not important. You, if you ask people, the number one answer, they've done studies after studies on this, you ask people, how are you doing? You know what the number one response Americans give is? Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. And we wear that as kind of a thing. Yeah, I'm too busy. But it makes us feel significant and important, that I'm so important that I can't afford to stop, or really important things won't happen. And what we don't recognize is what's going on is that there's an inner dialogue inside of us that we're not even aware of, that I have to keep doing. I have to keep doing. I can't slow down long enough to be. We're going to talk a lot about doing and being, developing an inner life. But I can't slow down for that, because if I quit doing, there's a part of me that thinks I'm no longer valuable, that I have to earn my keep. And maybe it goes back from childhood, be a good boy, good girl, always be helping. That for you, a good day is a productive day. And if you had a day where you wasted time and you weren't productive, you're not valuable. For some of us, it goes back to this understanding that I gotta quit, keep doing things, producing for people, showing up in such a way that people will recognize that I'm worth something. Because in my heart of hearts, I have this fear that I'm not valuable, that I'm not enough. And if I stop doing, man, I'll be exposed. Other of us are afraid to slow down. And some of you have told me, you know, Paul, I've been trying some of this stuff of slowing down and solitude and silence and creating inner life. But when I do, there's scary stuff there. There's some pains, there's some childhood stuff, there's some patterns, there's behavior, some ugly stuff there. And so I'm just going to keep doing stuff because I don't want to look deeply at that stuff. You see, to actually embrace a Sabbath perspective in your life requires faith. That, you know what? Christ, I'm going to go with you into this inner life and you're going to be with me. I'm going to see some hard things. I'm going to see some beautiful things. But you're going to go with me. It takes courage. It is an act of worship. It is exalting Jesus back to the place where his work is what's important. It's a perspective that understands that at the heart of Sabbath, hear me now, at the heart of Sabbath is the gospel. So what's the gospel? The gospel is this message that we were not good enough. We did not add up. That there was no amount of work we could do for God to get him to love us, to accept us, to do for us. We could not bring God anything. Our efforts were not enough. But Jesus came, he died on the cross for us. And listen now, his work, his effort gave us forgiveness for our sins. And when we put our trust not in our work, not in our effort, but his effort, it changes absolutely everything. We experience forgiveness. God then welcomes us as his son, as his daughter. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He starts making changes in us so that we become the good people who now works naturally come from us as an overflow. Now, here's the problem. Many of us have heard that message of the gospel and we've accepted it. Yep, I've accepted Jesus, forgiven my sin, going to heaven someday. But you live as though it's not true. You live as though what really matters is your work and earning your place and living up to some standard. There are voices in your head that are telling you, you must work, you must do, or you're not worth anything. When God is saying you're worth something because I died for you, I gave you a new name, and I am making you into something absolutely glorious, unbelievably valuable, but it's not your work, it's my work. That's why when we study the book of Colossians, we're going to do that in the fall, we're going to talk about what it means to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to say, the Apostle Paul saying, I am so excited because God is working in me powerfully. It's not that I'm working powerfully for God. It's that God is working powerfully in me. The heart of Sabbath is the gospel. So when we forsake Sabbath as a practical part of our life, we are actually forsaking the fruit of the gospel in our life. We are actually saying, you know what, God, I just think my work's more important than yours. And it leads us to a place of folly. So it's practice, it's perspective, and it's pattern. That is to say, it's not one big event. I'm going to go on a retreat. I'm going to go to a men's conference or a women's conference. I'm going to take a vacation. Here's the thing we don't understand about Sabbath from a modern perspective. From a modern perspective, people think Sabbath is what you've earned after you work. What we're going to see in the scripture is Sabbath is where God starts. So we tend to think of a day starting in the morning. So the morning you wake up, the day starts. In the biblical modern, morning began at sundown. Not morning, but the day began at sundown. That's why with the pray, the psalmist says, evening, morning, and noon, I will cry out to God. So this is still true of the Jewish people. When the sun goes down, the day begins, or the Sabbath begins. And so why do they do that? They do that because they say a follower of God does not begin with their work. They begin with resting in God's work. And so the perspective is God gives this gift of rest, and from out of that rest, out of that time with God, after that being with God, from that flows the efforts that I do. This is the pattern. And we're supposed to have aspects of Sabbath in every day of our life, in prayer, in devotion, and different things we do to connect with God. We're supposed to have it weekly. Every week, we're supposed to have a concentrated time where we recenter ourselves in God. And it's not just religion and sitting around and doing religious things. Many times it's play and it's delight and it's feasting and it's relationships. But it's all about slowing down to experience God. We're supposed to experience seasons of it. But what's so many of us do is we work ourselves to the point we're just killing ourselves, go, 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 and then we do a vacation. And this is the thing that works in most vacation. It takes about 2.5 days off, 2.5, 3.5 days to start decompressing from all the damage you've done to your mind, your body, your soul by working nonstop. And about midway through the week, you start feeling better, and then later that day, you start worrying about going back to work and all the things you've got to do when you get back. So there's a 20-minute window in there that it called the sweet spot. And that's your healing point. Now listen, tongue in cheek, but a little seriously, if Sabbath is the place that God gives you things like perspective and meaning and love and peace and helps reduce anxiety, and that's his window to work, that 20 minutes on the vacation, you know, then you're not given a lot to work with. If you don't establish patterns and practices as a regular part of your life, and you say, God, where are you? He says, I'm right here, but you're moving so fast, you're not taking time to notice me. If we don't understand that this will not, listen, by the way, this will not make you work less. This will make you work smart. There's actually been secular studies done that people who work 5 days a week actually get better return for their work than people who work seven. Did you know that? It's because we're hardwired to rest. We're hardwired not to be on all the time because we have limits, God doesn't. And so people who actually take time daily, weekly, seasonally to work rest into their life, who get good night's sleep, they are more creative, they make better choices about what they should work at. I don't know about you, but if I come in and I got a big long list of things to do and I'm exhausted, I'm overworked and I'm stressed, I'm just gonna take the easy things to do. I got 20 things to do because it feels good checking things off, whatever, like, you know, I won't do the smart things, the strategic things. Instead, if I come in and I'm focused and I'm rested and I'm renewed and I'm excited to get back because I've had time of renewal, man, I'm more energized. I'm better to work with. I do relationships better. I make better choices about what to do and how to use my time. Rest is crucial to being a good person, a good employee. That's why if you're an employer, you should give your folks off. Time off. You should actually be upset when they don't take their times off because they're actually going to eventually be not a great employee. They're going to be not great. And so this thing of Sabbath being a practice, perspective, and pattern teaches us to rest in God that we could live in true freedom. Now let's show the origin of this thing of Sabbath. It goes back to Exodus chapter 5. Now this is the story of Moses going to Pharaoh. And you remember Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. The people of God had been enslaved for 400 years. And if you're enslaved for 400 years, multi-generational, you are pretty much a slave. You think like a slave, you act like a slave, you don't know how to be free. And so what ends up happening is Moses goes to Pharaoh, and you've probably maybe seen the movie, heard the story, and he says, let my people go. But this is the part you haven't seen before, that he actually doesn't say, let my people go and be free. He actually calls them to come out and to rest and to worship. Watch this. After Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, and by the way, you say, well, I don't have a Pharaoh over me. You know who the main Pharaoh is in almost all of our lives? It's you. Pharaoh is the one in the back of your mind saying, you're not good enough. You're not working hard enough. You're lazy. You're stupid. If you slow down, man, you're going to fall apart. If you don't keep working, you're going to get hurt. If you don't work, you're going to lose control. That's the Pharaoh in your life, and he is cruel. Some of you got it from childhood. Some of you, your thing about it is that you got to prove you're better than everybody else. And so everything is a competition. Like, listen, I like competition. Keeping score is fine. But if your deal is everything is a competition and everybody is something you're competing against, and so the goal for you in all of life is just to win, you are enslaved. Okay, you're enslaved to that Pharaoh voice that's not going to let you slow down, not let you find rest, not let you find perspective, and you're going to miss relationships and meaning. Who's the Pharaoh in your life? The Pharaoh is in your head. Now watch this. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, comma, that they may hold a feast, a celebration, a holy Sabbath to me in the wilderness. He said, so these people have been working 400 years. Let them come out and let them celebrate. Let them delight. Let them worship. Let them be in family. Let them understand the meaning of what it means together in the most wonderful way. He calls them first to worship, to celebration, and to rest. This is the heart of God because he knows when we start with being, doing flows. When we start with resting, energy comes. But when we feel like we have to earn that or we don't deserve that, listen, we don't deserve anything from God. But when we come and say, this is God's pattern, we discover an energy in a life that should blow you away. Anybody here feel guilty whenever they take time off? Or they go on vacation? Feel like you're not good enough? Feel like you're shaming yourself? Anybody do this little thing that's just not good? Is you plan a vacation and you so fill it with activities that you come back exhausted? You got a phone, you know, I can't tell you how many times I quit doing this, how many times, oh, what a great moment. Let me grab my phone so I can remember this, and I miss it. I miss the moment because I'm trying to force in something that takes time, that takes, you know, the best parts of life happens in the in-between, happens in the cracks. The memories are made in the stuff that wasn't planned. If you don't have a day when you don't have anything scheduled, you say, I just can't waste time like that. You must waste time. What if I get bored? Risk it. You know, risk it. If you're not getting bored every now and again on a Sabbath, you ain't doing it right. Just risk it, because in that boredom is when the conversation happens, or when the interaction with a kid happens, and the memory is born, and those beautiful things happens, okay? So he says, come out and feast with me, festival with me, rest with me. This is what he says. But look at how intolerant the world is. Again, who's your Pharaoh? Pharaoh's in your head. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? We don't Sabbath. Listen now, it's going to hurt a little bit. Let me just tell you. The reason we don't Sabbath is we don't take God seriously. We take our work more seriously than God's. We think we need to be in control because we don't trust him to be. Feel like if we stop working, everything's going to come off. He's been running the universe for a while. He's pretty good at it. Okay? But he, Pharaoh, and who's the Pharaoh? Is in your head, in your heart, in your childhood. He is the one who's saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Do you not know? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? What makes them valuable is work. They're slaves to me. I don't care about any other part of them. If they're not working, they're not worthy. And again, when that comes from the outside, it's just annoying. But when your own heart is saying that to you, when the Pharaoh's in your mind, in your heart, that's a cruel taskmaster to live under. Some of you who proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior, you live like a slave. You live as though it's all about your effort that makes you valuable, and it's a terrible way to live. He says, don't take them from their work. Get back to their burdens. And Pharaoh said to them, behold, the people of this land are now many, and you take them away from their burdens. They got work to do. The same day, Pharaoh commanded his taskmasters. Who's the taskmasters? Voices in your head, attitudes you carry, things we say. And by the way, if you want your kids enslaved like this, live that in front of them. Don't teach them Sabbath. Sabbath is where you meet your kids. It's where you discover who they are. It's in those wonderful moments you didn't expect. You can't plan that. Taskmasters are the people and their foremen. He says to them, Pharaoh says to the taskmasters, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And so the whole thing is they'd make bricks and the Egyptians would bring them straw. He says, no more. They're clearly not getting enough work. So the reward for more work is more work. Pile it on. Push them and push them and push them. And some of you push yourself and push yourself and push yourself. You know the funniest things about folks who do this, and I've been this person, I really have. I've only seriously taken Sabbath seriously 8 years or so, and I've been a pastor for like over 30 years. I worked and worked, and I just had this fear I wasn't enough, and you know, people didn't see me working all the time, and it was just a terrible way to live. But here's the deal. If you live like that, it's a terrible way. So people who live like that, this is what I was going to say. They will work, and they will do, and they will perform, and then they will tell themselves, you're worthless. You're stupid. You're lazy. You need to just work harder. What have you done lately? And they don't enjoy their work. They don't enjoy their labor. Even when they do things for people, they don't have this sense of blessing and gratitude that they get to serve people. It's just, I'm doing this so that you will love me or you'll accept me. It is a horrible way to live. It's living with making bricks without straw more and more, faster and faster. But the number of bricks they made in the past, you shall impose on them. He says, no bricks without straw, but they better have the same number of bricks. You see, the world is unreasonable. It will use you. It will say, do more. Sign up for another thing. Get your kid in another program. Go faster. Check your phone one more time. Do more, do more, do more. And if you have the courage to be a rebel and say, I think this is crazy. You're lazy. You got to do this. If you don't keep your kids this busy, man, they're going to get in trouble. You're a bad parent. And this is the thing. You know, people ask me, you know, what's the greatest threat you see right now to families? Is it drugs? Is it immorality? Is it bad schools or good schools or whatever? I am convinced, I've said this for years, the number one attack on families is busyness. Because they live together, but that's about it. We go and we miss each other and it just zooms by. He says, you should just impose the same amount to them. You shall by no means reduce it. Look at this. For they are idle. It goes down. Therefore, they cry to Pharaoh. Let us go. And Pharaoh says, therefore, they cry because they're idle. Let us go and offer sacrifices. They want to rest. They're irresponsible. Just the shame in all this. And some of you, again, the Pharaoh's in your heart and your head. You're telling yourself this story. That's why you don't slow down. That's why you always have to have the house clean. That's why you always got to be doing something. That's why you can't take a vacation without doing something on vacation, fixing something, building something. It's crazy. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor and pay no regard. Look at this. To their lying words. Now, what ends up happening is that God delivers them. Moses comes, plagues, let my people go, Red Sea, all that. And then God leads them to the wilderness. And then he gives them, because here's the deal. He gives them what are called the Ten Commandments and a bunch of the law. Because again, these are people who have been slaves for 400 years. They don't know how to live free, just like we don't know how to live free when we first come to know Christ. And so that whole section of the Bible, we're going to actually look at this section in the second part of the year called the Wilderness Wandering. There are lessons about freedom for slaves in there, about what it looks like to actually learn to live free. Well, one of the things he gives them is the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, 10 big rules, right? This is the cornerstone of right and wrong, how we're supposed to treat each other. Now, if you were to come up with 10 rules, they would look radically different than what God came. If you haven't looked at them in a while, you say, wow, I didn't know that one made the list. All right, look at that. Well, the one that's so shocking is that one of his 10 rules is about Sabbath. It's about rest. And if you understand the Ten Commandments, you could think of them as 10 rules you have to follow or you get in trouble with God. What these are intended to be is 10 patterns of living that if you live by them, your life will be better. It'll be full of life and health and truth. This is meant to be a blessing. And look what he says. He says, remember, don't forget the Sabbath day. Keep it special. The word holy does not mean religious. It means special. It means set apart. It means significant. He says 6 days you're supposed to work and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. He says every week working as a practice, as a pattern, practice, a pattern, and a perspective into your life, Sabbath, every day. You give it to the Lord. It's as though you return it to the Lord and you say, God, I'm taking this time. The whole world is screaming at me. My mind is screaming at me that you got to keep working. You got to keep earning. You got to keep working your place. It's all going to fall apart without you. But God, I'm saying I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give this back to you and I'm going to start experiencing freedom that comes in trusting in your work, not in mine. On it, you shall not do any work or your son or your daughter or your manservant or your female servant or your investors or your sojourners who is within your gates. This is the entire community coming together. And one of the things that can make Sabbath so powerful is when you start doing Sabbath within community. So one of the things we're going to be talking about in the year is what's it look like for families to practice Sabbath together, to teach your kids the power and the value of rest, that they are too valuable not to rest, okay? Because the message very often we communicate to our kids is that they're only valuable when they're accomplishing, when they're going forward, when they're getting the grade, when they're winning the trophy, all those kinds of things. And man, it does not create life and health and peace. It creates anxiety and fear that they're not good enough. For 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that was in them and rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, made it special. And we totally disregard it. See, I don't need that. I'm good enough. I'm fast enough. I can keep up. And just sweeping me away. See, this is a gift from God. So again, Sabbath is the practice, the perspective, the pattern of resting in God that teaches us to live in true freedom. Now, what I want to do right now is I actually want to create a Sabbath moment. And I want to do it by a gift that God gave us that is all about Sabbath, which is communion. So you came in, you got a communion cup, go ahead and grab that. If you'd like a communion cup, go ahead and raise your hand and the ushers will come down and just raise your hand and they'll get you one if you haven't got one. But here is the thing to remember about communion. Why do we as Christians take this little piece of bread and this cup and we drink it, we experience it in all our senses, we touch it with our hands, we smell it, We taste it. And this is supposed to be regularly and routinely part of the Christian experience. Well, because this is the time where we create a Sabbath. We say, okay, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to remember the message of this time. And I'm going to remember that the bread says something to me. I'm going to remember that the cup says something to me. It says that there was a time that I was separated from God, and there was, listen now, there was no work I could do to get myself to God. I have to completely and totally trust the work of Jesus. The bread represents his body. And so Jesus says through the body, through the work I've done on with my body on the cross, I have made you accepted, I made you loved, I have made you new. I'm sending my spirit in you so that not only will you have the position of righteousness, I will actually make you into a masterpiece of righteousness and goodness. Your destiny is glorious, not because of what you do, but because of what I've done. It's a renewal of trust in his work, not ours. The cup is a cup of relationship. It basically is saying what gives life meaning is relationship. And unless you have breath, unless you have time, unless you have opportunity where nothing can happen, where you risk boredom, you're going to miss most of the sweetness of relationship. That's true with God. That's true in marriage. That's true with family. And so learning to be with God and learning to be with people is so much of the joy of this freedom. And so this cup declares Sabbath. It declares the gospel. It reminds us. Now, there's a verse here I have up on the screen. This is a verse that came to the people of God in the middle of the history of the Old Testament. So Isaiah is the prophet that came to the children of Israel right before they became enslaved again to the Babylonians. They had been in rebellion from God for hundreds of years. And if you do a close study, particularly of the minor prophets, you're going to see that the pattern was this. They started by neglecting the Sabbath. And when they neglected the Sabbath of resting in God and recentering on God, into their life came idolatry and sin and broken relationships in the form of horrible injustice in terms of how they treated each other. And so there was this pattern of forsaking the rest of God that caused them to squirrel into all kinds of things. Listen to what the prophet says. This is what the sovereign Lord, notice the term sovereign Lord, that is king, ruler, the one who's always working, the one who's in charge, the one whose works matter, the one who can handle it. We can't handle it. He can handle it. So we could probably quit trying to handle it, trust him to handle it. The sovereign Lord, the Holy One, the special one of Israel says, look at this, in repentance. Repentance is a changing of mind, changing of perspective. Many of us need to do the hard work of letting our mind change about rest, that it's not a shameful thing. It's a good thing. It's an honoring thing. It'll make your work better. It'll create relationships. We need to have those voices change in our heart. We see in repentance, look at this, and rest is your salvation. It will not only save you turning to Christ, for save you from sin and hell and all that, but it'll save you practicing Sabbath rest from anxiety, from fear, from loneliness and empty relationship, from the inability to take time for each other. This is the pathway to salvation. Look at this. In quietness and trust is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. But you would have none of it. He said it to Israel. He's saying it to us today. And so I just want to take a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute and imagine Jesus is talking to you just directly. Let's just take a Sabbath moment. We're going to slow down. We're going to just take a breath and hear him say, in repentance and in rest is your salvation. He's talking to you. In quietness and trust is your strength. Would you have it? Hear him again. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would not have it. Will you have it? Will you receive it? In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. It will make you strong. But you choose something else. Would you have it? And so on the night before Jesus died, you can look up now, he took this bread And this bread, he said, this represents my body. And it was broken. He broke it. And he said, this body will represent the work I've done to give you salvation. Do not put trust in your work. Put trust in the work that I have done for you, around you, through you, in you, from beginning to end. It is my work that matters. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new and everlasting relationship. And Sabbath makes relationship possible, slowing down, taking breath, time for God, time for each other, time for ourselves to actually pay attention to what we're feeling and what we're thinking, and what's making us afraid and what's not level in us. He said, this is the cup of the new relationship. It's blood that will be poured out for you. When you take this, do this in remembrance of me. Now, I want to end my time by challenging you. My challenge is just simply this. Let's discover Sabbath. We're beginning a series. We're beginning a journey. We're going to be talking about this all year long, about inner life and what it means to create a place where God can meet you and speak you and really remind you things you need to think about, but get you understanding patterns of thought and where they're coming from. And are they level? Are they in line with what God's saying and the example of Jesus? Are they some shame from your childhood? Are they some fear from a pain you experienced in the past? Is it all about the fact that you keep doing, you never spend time being a person with God, with yourself? And it all begins by figuring out this thing of Sabbath. So we've got this devotion sheet. Just pick it up. There's a study on Right Now Media that we are highlighting. And you just grab this sheet. It'll tell you exactly what to do. If you're on Right Now Media, you know. It's an incredible book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it could really change your life. For some of us, it's going to be some little steps, some little practices we add as a pattern. For others, it's going to be a radical change in our life where we as a family, we're going to start instituting Sabbath in your life. Your kids may complain at first, but man, eventually it'll be the stuff they will talk about at your funeral. I kid you not. He took time. He was there. It was holy. It was special. I kid you not. That is the stuff that matters. And so I've got a family devotion here. I just want to highlight one of the things that's going on beautifully in our church. These are some pictures from our prayer garden. We've got an incredible team of volunteers, been pouring themselves into our trails. They're open, and you can go and you can walk during the day. You'll often find me up there just sitting, wasting time. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I just need to catch my breath. Sometimes I just look. Sometimes I just, my mind wanders. But I just feel God calling me up there. I'll just go up there sometimes. And many times just close my eyes and say, what am I feeling? Oh, I'm angry. Why am I angry? Well, that person said that. Why did that bother me? Because it reminded me of what my dad used to say. Oh, yeah, I'm doing that. Oh, what am I feeling? I'm afraid. Oh, my gosh, why am I afraid? Well, because I got to make that phone call later. And I just think that person's going to reject me. And I hate being rejected. Oh, Jesus, I hate being rejected. And you can start paying attention to what's going on in your life so you start handling things in a much better, healthier way. And so this is just an invitation. Sabbath is a blessing. Don't make it a list of rules that's going to make you and everybody around you miserable. But instead, find a pathway to Sabbath and put some resources in your hand so you can experience life and health and truth. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what an unusual God you are. Other gods in this world start demanding and taking. They make us earn our place. They make us prove our worth. But you have come and you have said, before we do anything else, let's just rest. And trust in what I'm doing and who I am and my goodness, that I can handle life, that you make us worth it. You make us enough. And then you work in us to make it more and more reality. Father, help us become aware of the voices in our hearts that are driving us, the cruel pharaohs in our minds that are lying to us. And help us just discover the beauty of stillness, and quietness, and Sabbath, and joy, and delight, and relationships that come only when we slow down. Help us to see the gift this is, the blessing this is, and help us see it all in Jesus.